And so I want to give you the word of the Lord, and God's going to move in your life, and I'm excited about what God's going to do. It's my custom to stand for the reading of the word of the Lord. Can we just make me feel at home today? Thank you so much. If you're physically able, stand. If you're not, no judgment. We love you. Jesus loves you. It's an honor to be here. I'm going to read two passages of scripture, then I'm going to preach the rest of the Bible after you're sitting down. Joel chapter number 2, verse number 21 says this: "Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. And do not be afraid, you beasts of the field, for the open pastures are springing up, and the tree bears its fruits. The fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and new oil." Listen to verse number 25. "So I will restore to you the years." Somebody shout years. "I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, that the crawling locust has eaten, the consuming locust and the chewing locust. My great army which I sent among you, you shall eat and be plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame." One more passage of scripture I'm going to anchor out of this text this morning. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 17 says this. Verse number 15, excuse me. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." I want to preach a message to you this morning simply entitled, "Redeeming the Time." Somebody say, "Redeeming the Time." Can you just slip both hands to heaven and help me pray for about 30 seconds before we're seated? Come on, don't just watch me pray. I want you to help me pray this morning. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, it is my great honor to be preaching your word to your people in your house. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would begin to move on the hearts and minds of every person underneath the sound of my voice. God, I pray that this morning the word of God would be preached, the power of God would be demonstrated, and the people of God would be edified. I thank you this morning that everything the devil has tried to do, everything the devil has tried to release, everything the devil has tried to establish in the lives of the people in this room, I thank you this morning that every one of his works shall be destroyed. I thank you that the power of the blood of Jesus speaks a better word over your people. I thank you this morning, not one person's going to leave here the same way they came. If they came in sick, they're going to walk out healed. If they came in bound, they're going to walk out free. If they came in lost, they're going to walk out saved. If they came and tormented, they're going to walk out full of peace. And I thank you this morning, God, that everything that you have for us will be accomplished. And we thank you for it and give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Would you shout amen? Come on, give the Lord one more praise as you're seated all across this room. I want to preach a message to you today called "Redeeming the Time." Somebody say, "Redeeming the Time." Now, I'm a hollaback preacher. Amen. That means when I say something, you got to say something back to me. I don't care what it is. You can say, "Preach, preach, preacher, come on somebody, preach it, white boy." You can say, "Oh, that was for me." You can stand up and say, "Oh, that was for you over there on the far side of the sanctuary. I read about that on Facebook." But whatever you do, just say something back to me. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. You're already getting there. Y'all are a great people. It's a great church. Redeeming the time. I want to start by telling you this, that time is one of the most valuable things we have on the earth. Time is like nothing else. It's one of the most valuable things that we have on the earth. It has been said that we can get back anything that we have lost except for time. We can lose money and get more money. We can lose opportunity and get another opportunity. We can lose friends and get a new circle. We can get back everything we lost, so it has been said, except for time. Benjamin Franklin said, lost time is never found again. Geoffrey Chaucer said, time and tide wait for no man. A great philosopher named Theophrastus has said, time is the most valuable thing a man can spend. Now, aren't you just thankful your parents did not name you Theostrophus? Come on, somebody. I mean, I met some people with some pretty unfortunate names, but I have never met anybody with that unfortunate of a name. But the brother had a point when he said, time is the most valuable thing that a man can spend. Time is one of the most valuable things we have. Most of our lives revolve around time. Somebody say time. We strive to make the most out of our time. The most time with our family. The most time doing what we enjoy. The most time living in health. We strive to protect and prolong our time. Time is one of the most valuable things that we have. And I just got to take a minute and set all this up before we preach this morning. Time is one of the most valuable things that we have. So much so that the greatest judicial punishment we have to give someone is to remove their time or to make them serve time, because time is the most valuable thing that we possess. Time is the most, one of the most valuable things we have, but also, I'm just setting this up, time is one of the most powerful things that we have. See, time creates the record of our lives. You know how we speak? Do you remember the time that we ate at that restaurant? Do you remember the time that we were children and we went on that vacation? Time creates the record of our lives. Do you remember the time that we went on our first date? The time that we had our first kiss? Don't start getting excited, baby. I know when I start talking like that, I'm not going to start singing songs. I don't want to get out of the spirit. Amen. But I will start singing Marvin Gaye to her right now if y'all weren't in the room. Come on, somebody. But time is one of the most powerful things that we have. Time creates the record of our lives. This is why, listen to this, that moments, somebody say moments. I'm just setting a thing up. Moments have the ability to mark us. We can walk through one moment in a short window of time, but that time is actually so powerful that we can allow what happened in a short time to mark us for the rest of the time of our lives. That's why some of you in this room are still living under the label of what happened to you when you were a child. You're still living in memory of what happened to you in the past time, because time is so powerful. It creates the records of our lives, and moments have the ability to mark us forever. Good, bad, and ugly, time is a powerful thing. Some of us can still remember vividly things that happened yesterday, things that happened, years ago, like it was just yesterday. Time is a powerful thing. And when we speak of this time, the Bible uses a word to describe this type of time. The word that the Bible uses to describe this type of time is a word in the Greek called chronos. Everybody say chronos. Chronos is where we get the English word chronology, the order or the sequence of events. And so the time, the word for time that the Bible uses to describe the events of our life, the time of our life, is a word chronos. It simply means the order of events. The natural order of time is called chronos time. And our natural lives are subject to this chronos time. We can't buy more of this time. We can't rush the time. We can't slow down the time. We can't get back the time we lost. We can't give away time that we want to give to somebody else. All of our natural lives are a culmination of what happens inside of this time that the Bible calls chronos. Everybody say chronos. So time is one of the most valuable things we have. Time is one of the most powerful things we have. Time creates the record of our lives, and these moments have the ability to mark us. But I got to set this up if we're going to talk about what it means to actually redeem the time. Are you with me this morning? God is eternal and exists outside of this time. Psalm chapter 90 verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, listen to this, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Isaiah 40 chapter number 28 says this, have you not known? Have you not heard? This everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Revelation chapter 22 verse 12, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. See, God is eternal and he exists outside of Chronos time. Time is created, but God is eternal. Before time began, God always was, and after time is, God will still be. God is eternal and he exists outside of time, watch this, and above time. God does not serve time. God is not bound by time. God does not bow to time, and God is not limited by time. We know the Bible says that God, one of his names is El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, more than enough. And friend, can I tell you, while God is a God of more than enough and abundance in every way, perhaps his richest resource is time. I mean, he's famous for being eternal. One of his richest resources is the resource of time. He is the only one that holds the power of eternity. Watch this. God is above time. He is without time. He exists outside of time, and he operates in and from eternity. I promise you, I'm just setting a thing up. He operates in and from eternity. He is above time, above this Chronos time, which means that God actually is not in the past, in the present, or in the future with us. He's outside of time and currently standing in the past, in the present, and in the future all at the same time, because he's above time and not limited by time. He operates from another realm of time. You see, Chronos is the time that we are bound by. It's the natural order of the events. But God is not restricted to or limited by this Chronos time. The time that God operates from is not natural time or Chronos time. God operates from an eternal realm. You see, the Bible uses Chronos time to describe the time we're bound by. There's a time to be born, Ecclesiastes says, and a time to die. A time to wound and a time to heal. A time to live and a time to die. That is Chronos time that you and I are bound by. But the Bible uses another word to describe time, and that word is Kairos time. Everybody say Kairos. So you have Chronos time, which is the natural order of events where we get chronology from, day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, past, present, future, chronology. But there is another word called Kairos, used as the word time. This word Kairos time means the right time, the appointed time, in due season. Kairos time is the right time, the appointed time, and the opportune time. Listen to this. Kairos time is used to describe moments when an eternal God, listen to this, breaks through into the natural realm. Kairos time, a Kairos moment, is when the God of eternity breaks into our Chronos with his Kairos. Heaven meets earth. Eternity overpowers the natural, and the power of an eternal God is released in the time in our lives in a natural realm. God operates in Kairos time. This is why the Bible says, many people misquote this scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 1 and 2. They say, today is the day of salvation. That's not what the word says. The Bible says, now is the appointed time. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time of God's favor. Because if today was the day of salvation, what happens tomorrow? And my God, what about what we did yesterday? No, God operates in a time called now. When is it your time to be healed? Right now. When is it your time to be saved? Right now. When is it your time for your family to be restored? Right now. This is why the Bible says, now faith is the evidence of faith. Things hoped for and the substance of things not yet seen. Because when you understand God's not bound by the Chronos time, he exists in eternity in Kairos time, you understand, it doesn't matter what I'm facing right now, there is a God who is so far above everything that's happened in the time of my life that whenever I call on his name, he knows how to set me free right now. I know I'm ahead of myself, but I feel like preaching for 10 seconds. He is a right now God. He is a right now Savior, a right now healer, a right now deliverer. What does God want? He wants you to encounter him right now. Somebody say right now. right now. A Kairos moment is when the God of eternity breaks into our chronology. Heaven meets earth so that everything on earth bows to the God of heaven, and our time begins to look like on earth as it is in heaven. Just setting a thing up. Why is this important to understand? Why am I saying all this? Because in our text today, in Ephesians chapter number 5, the Bible makes a simple but really seemingly impossible statement. We're going to go back to the text. He says this, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15. He says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. It says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. If time cannot be purchased, how in the world do you redeem something you can't buy? Let me help you. The word redeem literally means to buy back. How can I buy time? Baby, it ain't like they sell it at Walmart. Come on, somebody. If they sold time at Walmart, we would all be singing, forever young, I'm gonna be forever young. They don't sell time. You can't go to the time store. The best you can do is buy a watch, but you can't buy no time. Come on, somebody. I know a lot of people, I don't know why I'm saying this, I know a lot of people with bust down Rolexes on their wrists, but a broke down life in their day to day. Let me tell you, baby, you can put $50,000 on your wrist, but you can still be miserable in your soul. I'm telling you, you can put $100,000 on what you drive and still be miserable in your soul. You can buy everything you want, but you can't buy no more time. So how in the world can we buy back something we can't buy? How do we redeem the time? It's the most impossible command for the Lord to give us in the scripture. The word redeem means to buy back. I mean, once time is lost, it's lost, right? Nobody can recover lost time or reverse what happened in the past times, and none of us can guarantee what's going to happen in the future. So how can time actually be redeemed? See, the Greek word here, I like the Greek because that's what the Bible was written in. The Greek word for redeemed is exagero. It literally means by payment of price to recover from the power of another, to ransom or to buy off. He tells us to redeem the time, but not one person on earth has the resource to recover our life from the power of time. We can't recover our life from the power of time. Nobody in this room can go back in your past and undo the blunt you smoked. Nobody in this room can go back in your past and undo the time that the person who should have been protecting you harmed you. Come on, somebody. Nobody can go in their past time and undo what you regret. Nobody can take back what you said. You cannot buy back something you don't have the resource to purchase. And here's what's even more mind-blowing about this text. You remember there's two times in scripture, Chronos time and Kairos time. Kairos is the appointed time. It's the God time. It's the breakthrough moment. What's even more mind-blowing in the scripture is in the Greek, it says redeem the Kairos. How do you buy back a moment with God that you missed? How do you buy back when you disobeyed God? How do you buy back when you didn't walk in the call of God? How do you buy back when you got the divorce? How do you buy back when God wanted to show up, but you were too busy on Sunday morning with a football game, fishing on the lake and playing golf, so you complained to the prayer team that you weren't healed, but we can't find you in the house of God? How can you buy back the time where God was supposed to show up? We don't have this power. It's a troubling text. It's even more mind-blowing that it's Kairos time. See, if Kairos time is a moment where God breaks into our lives, how in the world can we recover moments that didn't happen? How can we reverse, recover, restore, watch this, and redeem the will of God in our lives? How can we go back and have the will of God in our past? It's a mind-blowing text. What this text is basically saying is go and buy back everything that you missed, lost, everything that was stolen and forfeited. Go buy it back. Redeem the time. How can we do this? Let me help you. If God is not bound by time, he's eternal. Amen? But can I just set this up, and then I promise after this we're going to preach a little bit. The Bible says God is not bound by time. He's eternal. But even more than that, God never created us to be bound by time. We were never bound by time until sin entered the world. The Bible says in Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness." The eternal God made eternal beings. The Father, Son, and Spirit created us as a body, soul, and spirit. An eternal God created eternal people to live with him forever. Do you understand that we were never meant to die? But the Bible says when sin entered the world, death began to reign. What is death? Death is the declaration that there is now an end to your life. And what death actually did was take the power in your life away from God and subject it to time. If death isn't real, time has no power. That's the realm God operates in. If death isn't real, time has no power. But when Adam sinned, the Bible says death reigned from Adam to Moses, and from Moses to Christ, sin was imputed. Death actually causes us to leave the power of God's time and be subjected to the power of Chronos time, because now our life has an end. So the Bible says this: how can we buy back time that we've lost when God's not bound by time? We were never meant to be bound by time. You see, when sin entered, we were separated from an eternal God and ruled by death. When death entered the earth, time became the master of man. If there's no death, there's no power in time. When time became the master of man through sin, it became the most valuable resource on earth. But I've got good news. I'm going to say this, and then we can actually go into the Ephesians 5 text, because we'll all be on the same page. The good news is that even though Adam forfeited dominion, the Bible calls Jesus the second Adam, because he came to redeem and get back, to buy back everything that the first Adam lost. Jesus came to redeem us from sin, from separation, and from death. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse number 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and the law of death." What God did to buy us back from the power of an evil timekeeper named death, and the one who had the power of death named Satan, is in a Kairos moment. The God of eternity wrapped himself in a body made of flesh. His Kairos extended into our Chronos and offered his life on a sinner's cross, so that the ones who deserve death and eternity in hell were actually broken free of that sin, sickness, separation, and condemnation, and brought back into right relationship with God. We have been redeemed. Somebody say redeemed. Jesus has redeemed. He has bought us. He has exorzo us. He has bought us back from the power of sin. You see, 1 Peter 1, chapter number 18 says this: "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers," watch this, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish or without spot." The eternal God stepped into natural time, wrapped himself in a body made of flesh, and paid the price with his blood to buy us back from our captivity. Now the Bible says that because of the redemption of Jesus, because we've been bought back, it makes this statement: "Oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory?" See, the devil tried to subject us to the evil days, but Jesus came to redeem our life from death and destruction, so that this mortal man, we could enter into an eternal relationship with God and be broken out of the power of sin and live in the power of eternity. Can I just tell you this? Two things. I didn't plan on saying this, but I feel this in my spirit. The Bible says in John 17:3, Jesus says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you." Eternity does not start when you die, baby. Eternity starts the moment you get born again. Heaven is not heaven because of streets of gold and gates of pearl and mansions all over. Heaven is heaven because finally there will no longer be separation. It will be day and night, and night and day we join with the angels crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." So eternity starts when we get born again, because the moment we're born again, death loses its victory. So when eternity starts when we're born again, death is what introduced the power of time. This means in Christ, we're broken out of subjectivity to the power of time. I'm going to help you, but I'm going to say this other thing about the blood of Jesus, because I feel this. I feel this for some people in this room. You can always determine what something is worth by what was paid to buy it back. My wife, stand up, let them see you, baby. You're worth seeing. Come on, somebody. She bought a 2005 Honda Civic for $4,000, and I hated that car so much. That thing was demon-possessed. I mean, that thing blew engine after engine. I can't believe I paid $4,000 for that car. You know why? Because it ended up not even being close to worth it. That car wasn't worth $4,000. I surely wouldn't pay $10,000. You know why? Because it wasn't worth it. What am I saying? The value in a thing is revealed by what was given to purchase that thing. The Bible says you were not redeemed with silver or gold, but you were redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Do you want to know how much you're worth, baby? You were worth the most valuable thing that heaven had to offer. When it came to buy you back, he didn't give some broke down offering. He gave the very best that heaven had to offer. Let that break the lie of worthlessness off your life. How much does God think I'm worth? Look at the blood. Look at the cross. You're worth Jesus stepping out of heaven to give his life to buy you back. It reveals your worth. It reveals your worth. Oh yeah, the cross reveals the wrath of God. You better believe it. You want to know how it reveals the wrath of God? Have you ever been, and I got to hurry, have you ever been next to somebody that you really loved that was struggling with some type of sickness? It was debilitating. And you hated that thing so much that you said, I wish to God I could crawl in that body and fight this sickness myself. I love that person so much, truth be told, I'd rather it be me on that hospital bed. I'd rather it be me in that sick bed. Baby, can I tell you, the wrath of God was revealed towards all sin. Because when Jesus looked at us, he said, I love the world so much, I'd rather take the punishment they deserved in my own body. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his own body. We have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. That's how much you're worth. I got to get back to my notes because I got a lot to say. But the Bible says that the blood of Jesus speaks a better word. I don't care what word's been spoken over your life up until this moment. That blood speaks a better word. You might have been called addict, homosexual, abandoned, worthless, orphan, too broke, too old, too young, too fast, too slow. I don't know what word has been spoken over your life, but I know the blood speaks a better word. The blood speaks a better word. So, Jesus redeemed us from the power of the evil time, Kronos. Kronos declares death. Kairos declares life. Jesus redeemed us from sin, death, and separation. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. So, back to Ephesians 5. Now we can preach. Ephesians 5:15 through 17. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. How can we buy back what has been missed, lost, stolen, and forfeited in the natural times of our lives? I'm going to tell you. You ready? By understanding that the Bible says the days, the Kronos time is evil, but we have been redeemed and bought back by the blood of Jesus, and now we are no longer bound, listen to this, to the times we
went through, we are restored to the power of eternity. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and now that blood has the power to redeem our time. The one who operates outside of time now has the power and the resources to undo what has happened to us in our time. So let's start right here. Point number one. God wants to redeem our past. God wants to buy it back. God wants to redeem our past. What does that mean? This text in Ephesians 5 is so rich because it actually tells us that everything that happened in our past can be redeemed. What does it mean that God wants to redeem our past? I'm going to help you. He can redeem, he can buy back what happened. You see, the Bible says in this text that the days are evil, but we can redeem the time. What does this mean? We've all walked through some evil days. Have you ever walked through some dark days? Come on, raise your hand. Some hard days, some evil days. I'm telling you, we've all walked through some evil days. We've all walked through some abuse. We've all walked through some brokenness. We've all walked through things we wish never happened. But the devil says, too bad, you got to live with the time. But the power of the blood of Jesus actually says, I can go buy back the very moment that the evil day marked you forever. He can buy back the moment your bedroom door opened and you were hurt by somebody who should have protected you. He can buy back the very moment you put the drugs in your mouth. He can buy back the very moment depression entered your life. He has the power to redeem that time. Redeem that time. He can redeem what has happened. See, redeem does not mean forgiveness. Redemption means to buy back. So he actually, because he's eternal, can reach into your past and buy back the time you lost. You see, there's a theological term called justification. Justification simply means this. In Jesus, your sins is just as if it never happened. Because he holds the power of time, he can actually reach back into your past and snatch out the things you wished never would have happened. If you're addicted to drugs today and you've been addicted for the last 20 years, my Bible tells me that we have been redeemed from the curse, and the blood of Jesus can buy back every moment you lost to that addiction. Redeeming the time. Somebody say, redeeming the time. He can redeem what has happened. If you were hurt as a child, hurt as a young person, wounded as a young person, he doesn't just have the power to cover that sin. You see this pocket square right here? It's covered, but it's still there. This is how we view our past. It's covered, but it's still there. But that's not redemption, friend. Redemption is actually God buying back and justifying your past so that now the pocket square is not just covered. I like that pocket square, but my God, it's no longer even there. The blood of Jesus doesn't just cover our past. The blood of Jesus redeems our past. He redeems our times. We stand justified just as if we never, ever had it happen in the first place. The days are evil, but God says we can redeem the time. We walk through the bankruptcy, but we can redeem the time. We walk through the court case, but we can redeem the time. We walk through the disobedience, but the blood of Jesus can buy back the time we lost. Redeeming the time. He can redeem our past. See, the devil operates in the evil day. I don't want to get too deep, but the word, because I have to go. I don't want to keep you. There's a fine line between a good sermon and a hostage situation. And we're not trying to hold nobody hostage. Come on, somebody. Okay? But I'll just give you this and move on. Satan operates in Chronos time. The day is evil. Even so much that the Greek culture in which the Bible was written called the God of time chronos. I believe that God has a timeline and the devil has a timeline, because God's timeline is that no one should perish, all should come to repentance, but the devil's timeline is that none should repent and all should perish. David said, all the days were fashioned before me before I ever took the first one. And let me break this lie. No, it was not God's will for you to walk through that sickness. No, it was not God's will for you to walk through that trauma. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but the Bible says Jesus has come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. So the devil works in the chronos, in the evil time, but there is a kairos time superior to the order of our lives. And I want you to hear me, that God has the power to break the evil day, rebuke the devourer, destroy the evil timekeeper, and release his plan in your life. He can redeem what has happened. He can buy it all back. There was a man that we've quoted a lot named David. David saw, he came to a beloved city named Ziklag. When he came to Ziklag, he found that while he was gone, Satan sent the enemy to steal all the women and burn the city of Ziklag. And David came and the people were ready to kill him. You know why? Because they knew once something happens, we don't have power to undo what's happened. David's men said, we came to Ziklag too late. The enemy was already here. But David in the book of Psalms says this. He says, oh Lord, my times are in your hands. Oh, I wish you felt that like I felt it. My times are in your hands. And so the Bible said, in the midst of destruction, David didn't weep. David didn't wonder. The Bible says David dropped to his knees and said, oh Lord, what shall I do? And the Bible says that the voice of God told David, pursue, overtake, and without fail, you shall recover all. I want you to know, no matter what happened in your chronos time, there is a God who exists in eternity that tells you, you didn't come too late when you're with God. Just one moment of the kairos time can undo what it took the devil a lifetime to do. Why am I preaching like this? Because some of you feel like you're in Ziklag and it's just too late to get back what you lost. But I'm here to tell you, you can still redeem the time. Oh, the blood of Jesus can buy it all back. He can redeem what's happened. But he can also redeem what should have happened. He doesn't just have the power to remove what happened and redeem what happened. See, the Bible says he redeems the kairos. That means he doesn't only have the power to make it just as if that thing never happened. In your present, he actually holds the power to release everything you missed from God in your past. Now you understand why Joel 2 says, I will restore the years that the cankerworm and the palmer worm and the consuming worm have eaten. Everything that was supposed to happen that was bound by the evil timekeeper, my God has the power to release it in your life right now. He can redeem the time. You were supposed to walk in the call of God 5 years ago. You were supposed to have obeyed back then. You were supposed to have stepped in the ministry back then. You were supposed to do it back then. God was going to break you through, but you know you disobeyed and backslid. But God's not bound by the disobedience of your past and by the missed moment of your past. He's just not bound by the chronos. He exists outside of that time. And the very moment that he finds someone in the chronos calling on the kairos, he has the power to reach back and remove everything the devil did, but also release everything he wanted to do in your life. He will restore the years. He'll restore the ears. He'll restore the ears. Yeah, you were supposed to preach to your friends in high school, but you're graduated now. He'll restore those ears. Yeah. You were supposed to start that business, but you let insecurity talk you out of it. He'll restore the years. What did the locust eat in Joel 2? They ate what would have been multi-generational harvest. And what God has the power to do in the time of your life is he is still the God of Amos 9:13, that he can pour out such a blessing that the plowman will actually overtake the reaper. He can restore the years that you allowed the devil to destroy. He's not bound by your time. He's not bound by my time. The devil operates in too late. But what's God's timeline right now? The devil operates in too soon. What's God's timeline right now? The devil operates in maybe in a year. What's God's timeline right now? Oh, well, you've walked in doubt all these years. Who are you to now walk in faith and believe you're healed? Listen, I feel this. Oh, the blood of Jesus can undo in one moment what it took the devil years to do. It took hell years to screw it up, but it takes heaven one moment to see it come to pass. I mean, does the Bible not say that 1,000 years is as one day with the Lord? So what it was supposed to take 1,000 years for you to do, if you can just step into faith in one day, God can take everything that he was going to use to release in your whole life and drop it. He can restore the years. He will redeem the time. He is greater than the evil day. It's not going to take God as long to fix it as it took the devil to screw it up. He can redeem your past. He wants to redeem your past. He can redeem what happened, but he can also buy back what was supposed to happen. You see, friend, God is not bound by time. And if God is not bound by the thing that binds all of us, can I just help you? That God is surely not bound by your failure either. If you think you've screwed the plan of God for your life up, I got a word for you. You ain't that powerful. My Bible tells me in the book of Romans that the gifting and the callings of God are without repentance. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. So many of you in this room think you've missed it. You think you've lost it, and you think you forfeited it. You might have, but God can redeem it. Can I tell you what I hear from the Holy Ghost? Don't you put a period where God's trying to put a comma. Don't you put an end to what God's trying to tell you. Oh, the Bible even says that in the book of James that we have seen the end intended by the Lord. Look at the life of Job, who he lost everything. But before he breathed his last, the Bible said God restored double everything Job lost. He can redeem what happened. He can redeem what was supposed to happen. Can I just tell you this, and I'm going to give you one last thing and we're done. Joel 2, I'll restore the years. He says this. It's such a powerful statement. He says, my people shall never be put to shame. Shame is a condition that you walk in the present because of something you walked through in the past. But God said, no matter what you walk through in the past, if you'll call on my name, I'll restore the years, and you won't live one more moment in that shame. Can I just tell you before I move on that today's the last day you rehearse that failure in your mind. Today's the last day that you rehearse that dark day in your mind. Today's the last day you live in the light of what happened in the past. I want to release over you from now on surely only goodness and mercy. Oh, the Bible says weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. He can redeem the time. He can buy it all back. He wants to redeem your past. What happened? What was supposed to happen? But God also wants to redeem your future. How can God buy something that hasn't happened yet? Because if God's not bound by the failure of your past, surely He's not bound by the uncertainty of your future. You see, God speaks from Kairos into Kronos. He exists outside of time. You know what that means? Your future is just as fixed as your past. He said, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you peace, to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Your future is fixed in the presence of the Lord. Fear does not have the authority to dictate the days of your life, but the voice of the Lord is the only voice that has the power to fix your future. You know what some of you are about to walk in after today? The God of eternity has spoke some things to some of you in this room in your past. You felt like because you didn't see it happen, that somewhere you missed it, so you wasted the word. But the Bible makes the most powerful statement over and over and over again. It says, and the word of the Lord, watch this, came to pass. What's that mean? That the God who spoke it back there, that all while you were looking at how you messed up what was back there in your Kronos, that the Lord of the breakthrough, heaven meets earth, and reaches into your past, and every word that you thought you missed suddenly overtakes you. Watch this. And what was in your past is released in your present. And the word of the Lord that was behind me came to pass me. And what I once walked looking back at, now I'm actually walking in. Baby, can I tell you, by the blood, your future is fixed. Your healing is fixed. Your family is fixed. Oh, the enemy might step on the battlefield, but before you swing the first punch, he already lost, because it's a fixed fight. God wants to fix your future. Say this last thing, and I promise I'm done. Redeeming, buying back the time, the future. I want you to know this, we're living in the last days. And God does not want one of you or one of your family or anybody to miss the rapture or the move of God He wants to release. You know, the church in America has missed a lot over the last couple of years, over the last 15, 20 years. We've abandoned a lot of things that were in our past. I'm not saying we got to wear suits and sing the old songs, but the old school has some things that we needed. We need travail. We need fasting. We need prayer. We need power. We need to get in a room and say, God, if you don't show up, we won't leave until the heavens are rent and the Spirit's poured out. We still need holiness. We still need righteousness. We still need preachers to preach. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. That sin will send you there and grace will send you there. We need some things in our past. I believe that we're the church of now. And God wants to take some things that the church has missed and redeem our future. Can I just tell you this? That He does cause in this scripture the former rain and the latter rain to be poured out in the same month. That means everything He did in the past and what He wants to do in the future can be released in one moment. Why am I saying this? I'm so thankful every one of you are in this room on a Sunday morning. Really, I am. But there's an entire region outside of these walls that is crying out for the power you have every week in this room. And God wants to use you to go and actually secure the future of this church in this region. He wants you to redeem the time. We're in the last last days, and in the last days he wants to pour out on all flesh. I don't have time to teach on the latter rain. Stand with me all across this room. I don't have time to teach on the latter rain. A lot of times, if you're physically able, I want to ask you to stand. If you're not, no judgment. Remain seated if you're not physically able. I'm done. I didn't feel the release of the Lord to teach on the latter rain this morning. But that's what's been dominant in my spirit, the places I preach. Because we're living in light of the return of Jesus. And I believe the enemy has dulled the church to sleep. That these days are evil. And I believe the enemy, you know, the scripture right before Ephesians 5:15 about walking circumspectly is Ephesians 5:14, which does say, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light." I believe that the church in America has missed some things. But going forward, God wants to use us to redeem some things. He wants to use us so that our future right before the rapture is not a future, listen, of just apostasy and doom and gloom and anarchy and backsliding and immorality. No, I want you to know that right before that trumpet sounds, God wants to pour out of his spirit one more time, and he wants to use the people in this room, oh, to walk in even what we forfeited. Blood of Jesus has redeemed us. Wants to redeem our past, what happened, and what was supposed to happen. And God wants to redeem the future of our lives and the future of his church.